Good afternoon, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to the Hidrovias Q4 2020 results conference call. We have with us Mr. Bruno Serapião, Chairman of the Board of Directors, Mr. Fabio Schettino, CEO, Mr. André Kingiokubota, CFO and Investor Relations Director, and Ana Carolina Bastos, Investor Relations Manager. This event is being recorded, and all the participants will be in the listen mode only during the company's presentation. After Hidrovias' remarks, there will be a Q&A session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. This event is also being broadcast live via webcast and may be accessed through the website link made available for investors and analysts. Participants may see the slides in any order they wish. Those following the presentation via the webcast may post their questions on our website. They will be answered by the IR team after the conference is finished. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are based on beliefs and assumptions of Hidrovias management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors and analysts should understand that conditions related to macroeconomic conditions, industry, and other factors may also cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I will turn the conference over to Mr. Bruno Serapião. You have the floor, sir.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the interest in our company. For those who don't know me, I am Bruno Serapião. I am Chairman of the Management Council of Hidrovias do Brasil. The presentation will be made especially by Fabio Schettino, CEO of Hidrovias, and André Kubota, CFO and Investor Relations Director. I would like to begin this introduction of our earnings reinforcing the factors that make Hidrovias a unique company in the logistics and transportation market in South America. We are present in sectors that have competitive advantages, more specifically agribusiness and mining. Our presence in these sectors, transforming the current transportation matrix to a waterway transportation system with strong contracts and also the company's ability to generate new logistics projects that can allow attractive results for investors. As you can observe on slide three, Hidrovias is the only independent company with waterways logistics services that is totally integrated in Brazil and solutions with a good guarantee of service and competitive prices in the corridors where we operate. Our business model is protected by long-term contracts that are take or pay with first-class clients that guarantee a good EBITDA for the company, even in adverse scenarios, and this was shown in 2020. We have a diversified company in products and currencies with assets designed for productivity in logistics for commodities. We're the only company to have this diversity of operations in waterways and also in markets. Hidrovias has a privileged position in this logistics segment with excellent returns. Of the many opportunities for growth that we have, we would like to highlight agribusiness in Brazil. On slide four, you can see that especially in the North Corridor, we're very well-positioned to capture part of the growth of grains projected for the state of Mato Grosso. According to projections from IMEA, the state will produce 125 million tons of grain in 2030, coming from a production base of 70 million in 2019-2020. This growth will come from the mid-north and north of the state, where our operation has a clear competitive advantage. I highlight the declaration of the infrastructure minister last week describing the ports of the North Arch already surpassing the ports of the south as main export ways of grains in Brazil. This shows that we're strategically very well positioned with more competitive tariffs, and we are a good means and a profitable means to really transport grains in all this region. So the long-term strategy that had good results in the North Corridor, we also on slide 5 see tactical aspects that bring more competitiveness to our company. The route of the BR-163 roadway to Miritutipa has become more competitive, not only because now it is paved, but also the excellent work in unloading of trucks, minimizing the waiting time of truck drivers, and thus the freight, the average freight from Sorriso to Miritituba dropped by almost 30% between 2018 and 2020. With this, the logistic costs of soybean, according to USDA and Sorriso, when we compare Sorriso to China, which is the main destination of this product, we're become more competitive than the other corridors. 4.5% lower than the port of Santos by railway and 11% lower costs to Santos by truck. This is proven by the market share of the ports in the North Arch, with Barcarena contributing very significantly for these statistics. In numbers, Barcarena exported 13.3 million tons in 2020, going from 8.4 million of tons in 2018. We were able to capture part of this growth, and we were responsible for almost half of the volume exported, showing the excellence of Hidrovias in this corridor. The beauty of this history shows that we have other structural factors that will make the North Arch even more competitive. A fact that these are not in our projections yet. We have been very conservative. Apart from the expansion capacity in ports with less risk when compared with Santos and Paranaguá, the numbers of USDA and IMEA do not take into consideration the greater volumes that can be moved in the region through the Paraense Railway and especially Ferrogrão Railway. In the case of Ferrogrão, when we include the existence of this project in our business plan, bearing in mind that it would be implemented by third parties and not by us, it becomes evident the potential of growth of the North Arch for us. Even not being part of our estimates, the scenario has been showing itself more and more plausible through initiatives of the government, which has made clear that this is a priority in the federal government. It is important to highlight that we're talking about a gap in infrastructure in Brazil with space for development in many logistic corridors that do not compete among them. And Brazil, we know, will be one of the greatest responsible for the global demand of grains on a global level. I'd like to make one more thing clear. In spite of the potential of growth in the North Arch, Hidrovias is a diversified company being able to have new projects every 18 to 24 months, a clear opportunity of consolidation in the Southern Corridor with great synergies of the operation and costs. We're the only company with 25-year contracts in waterways, and this gives us a unique position as a consolidator. We can see the same scenario in logistics and cabotage for commodities. This brings us great avenues for growth and diversification that cannot be found in any other company in the logistics in the region. We have a pipeline of new projects, and as they go forward, they will be presented to the market, always with the credibility that Hidrovias has shown in the past to its stakeholders. A personal note, I, as chairman of the Management Council, would like to say that we have a commitment with ESG, Environment, Social, and Government, ESG. In the last 10 years of Hidrovias, we have sustainability practices being implemented, a company that, due to its mission, changed the transportation matrix in the region and in Brazil to have a sustainable impact. In the social field, we have 50%, more than 50% women in our board of directors. Also, in terms of governance, we have all the committees and commissions demanded by Novo Mercado, maintaining all the transparency demanded by the market. Now, I'd like to pass the floor to Fabio, and I will be available to clarify any points. Thank you. Thank you, Bruno. Thank you very much to all for participating in our conference call for Q4 and full year 2020. This was a challenging year, and also for Hidrovias. We concluded the year in a very good way, and we have reasons to celebrate. We were able to adapt quickly all our operation to continue working without any interruption and guaranteeing an excellent service to our clients in South America. We also took care of all the health of our employees. And I always say that these fundamentals are proven in challenging period, and we showed this during 2020. We transported more than 20 million tons with a net revenue of 1.5 million reais, a growth of 55.9% when compared to 2019. The adjusted EBITDA, including the result of our joint ventures, totaled 637.4 million reais, with a robust margin above 51%. Also, other highlights, landmarks in 2020, the IPO of the company, and now we are listed in the best corporate governance practices segment of B3. So we're continuing our strategy to continue with our leadership role in waterways. As Bruno said, our board is focused on sustainability too. We're developing a sustainability platform that is very robust, and soon we will present it to the market with more details. We began the year of 2021 trusting that we will have a good scenario for grains and iron ore, and this helps our company to grow even more. Apart from this, we continue advancing with new projects that we're implementing. As you know, we will revamp and modernize the sheds in the Port of Santos, and we will begin the salt project in the second semester. I thank you once again for participating, to our employees for the total dedication, and our shareholders for the trust. And I say that once again, our commitment with excellence in services, and also we want to generate revenue for the company. Now I'd like to pass the floor to our CFO, Mr. Kubota, and I will be back at the end for the final comments before the Q&A session. Thank you. Thank you, Fabio, and to all those participating in our conference call. As Fabio said, we're very satisfied with the results we reached in Q4 20 and the full year 2020, full of challenges in all the operations. I will begin commenting on the results of the Northern Arch and then grain transportation fertilizers. On slide 7, you can see that we moved 880,000 tons in Q4, 30.5% above Q4 last year, with a strong result coming from the record harvest of grains in Mato Grosso. In the year, 6.3 million tons growth, very strong growth of 46%. We had an increment in net revenue of 75% in Q4, and we more than doubled the results of 2019, with a net revenue of 856.2 million in 2020. If we look at the revenue excluding road transportation, which would be additional revenue obtained with transshipment, and we would have 19.6 in the quarter and 32.3% in the year, result of record grain harvest in Mato Grosso and more competitiveness after the paving of BR-163 road, which made it more competitive. We continue focused on cost reduction and cost control, and we were able to have efficiency gains in 2020, diluting fixed costs by increasing volumes. With this, we reached an adjusted EBITDA of 34.7 million in Q4 and 288.2 million in the full year, a significant growth of 18.3% in the quarter and 56.8% in the year, expressive gains of 9 percentage points in adjusted EBITDA margin in 2020, which reached 57%. This excellent performance of the North Corridor reinforces the vision that the North Arch continues as a competitive and profitable alternative for grains transportation with great potential of growth in the next few years. On slide 10, we have the performance of coastal navigation, with the greatest result in its history in the year of 2020. We transported 461,000 tons of bauxite in Q4 this year, a volume below that of last year due to some pier problems in our client's pier. But this did not impact the year. Even with a lower volume in the quarter, when we look at the year, we transported 3.4 million tons of bauxite, 5% above that of 2019. Even though the net revenue totals 61.2 million in Q4 and 214.6 million in 2020, a strong growth of almost 40% when compared with the previous year, and a little lower in the Q4 due to the situation I already mentioned. We also optimized this corridor, and we gained operational efficiency, and with this adjusted EBITDA was 42.2 million in Q4 and 139.7 million in the year, a growth of almost 70%. The adjusted EBITDA margin grew in the quarter and in the year, reaching 63% in 2020. This historical result presented in this corridor reinforces the benefit of diversifying our work and cash generation of the company, apart from the efficiency in the take-or-pay contracts. On slide 11, we have the results of the Corridor South, with volumes impacted due to the lower water levels in the rivers of the region. It's important to reinforce that even with this situation, we were able to operate, and we were prepared to operate in this region. We transported all the volume requested by our clients in the long term. We transported 231,000 tons in Q4 and 1.9 million tons in the year. The net revenue, 153.7 million in Q4, 353.9 million in 2020, a growth of 92.4% in the quarter and practically stable during the year, also reflecting the efficiency of the take-or-pay contracts. Operation costs grew during Q4 20, and we had to make some temporary adjustments to operate in this adverse scenario with rental of equipment to handle higher quantities and also longer travel times due to the lower levels of the rivers. The adjusted EBITDA totaled 76.5 million in Q4 and 353.9 million in the year. And we maintained a strong level and also an adjusted EBITDA margin of 55% in the year, showing the resilience of this corridor. The situation of the depth of the waterways is improving. In some points, we already have a scenario better than the historical average. And even with a gradual recovery, sometimes lower than we expected, we are already operating normally in 2021. On slide 11, we have the results of the Santos operation. We began the revamping of the installations, and we did not have expectations to operate during this year. Even with this, we got organized and were able to transport 228,000 tons of fertilizer in Q4 and 628,000 tons in the year. This contributed with 9 million reais of EBITDA adjusted in Q4 and 8 million EBITDA adjusted during the year, with a margin of 20%. Also, behind the potential, it is in the implementation phase, but already shows a positive scenario. We moved some volume in Santos, but as of Q2, we will have more intense reforms, but the operation will be able to operate in 2022. The salt operations are evolving, and we should begin transporting in the second semester, reaching full capacity in 2022. I showed to you on slide 14 the CapEx of the quarter and of the year. We maintained our structure of CapEx and low maintenance, and 11.7% of the CapEx was in this quarter and 12.8% in the year. CapEx of expansion was greater in 2020, and I mentioned the points, especially in the northern corridor. On slide 15, we see that we closed the year with more than 1 billion in cash, showing our capacity to invest in the expansion of the business and maintaining a robust cash position. In February 2021, we concluded the restructuring of our debt. We bought back 75% of our notes, which would mature in 2025. We issued a new issuance, $500 million. We lengthened the time by 6 years, and also reducing costs by 100 basis points, reinforcing the quality of the credits of Hidrovias. I tried to make a brief presentation to leave more time for the questions. I would like to pass the floor to Fabio. He will make his final comments and begin the Q&A session. Thank you very much for your interest. Okay, Kubota, thank you. As you were able to see, the results of 2020 were very consistent. We delivered everything we communicated during the year and even more. 2021 is beginning with a very positive tendency. The soybean harvest is a little late because of rainfall, but this will be compensated with greater productivity. We trust that the scenario for grains transportation will be very positive during the year, especially in Mato Grosso. Since January, we are also billing with an increase in our tariffs by 10%, in part due to the gains in competitiveness after BR-163 road was paved. It has good traffic conditions, this road, and we hope that there will be an auction now for the concession of this roadway. And we believe the auction will be on June 10, guaranteeing a good maintenance of the road and maintaining the competitiveness of the North Arch. In the North, we see that the perspective of expansion in grains makes us very well positioned to offer transportation for the tradings that don't have their own logistics systems. This becomes even more evident when we understand that the region is the one that has the greatest area available for planting soybean. In the South Corridor, we have a very positive scenario with iron ore, and Vale decided to use all the volume in our contract in 2021 due to the higher prices of iron ore in the global market, which demonstrates that Vale trusts in our operation and considers us a logistic partner. Also in this corridor, we see possibilities of consolidation, possible M&A operations with companies that would have a good synergy with our business, with interesting portfolios and good assets. This could make feasible the continuity of the expansion of grain transportation and other cargoes in this corridor. Going on to the next slide, conclusions. Now, concerning the other projects, we continue with the implementation of the SALT project in Santos, which will give us interesting volumes and diversify even more our portfolio. We continue looking at other routes and other opportunities for new areas. And also we analyze opportunities to optimize our operation, increasing productivity and promoting a higher dilution of costs by increasing scale. There are many possibilities of growth and profitability that we see for our company, without counting the good news that we have read in the newspapers concerning Ferrogrão Railway, which makes the North Arch even more competitive, reducing freight prices and bringing significant additional volume for this North Corridor. If we look at the production of Mato Grosso today, approximately 50%, responsible for 50% of all the production in the state, is being transported by the North Arch, and we transport 47% of this total. We're the only independent company with integrated logistics in the region. We continue focused, we work to deliver consistent results every quarter, and we trust that we have an integrated operation with excellence and very competitive in all the corridors where we operate. Our business plan is very consistent, and we hope to have news in that soon that will make us even more important. We're preparing Hidrovias Day to show what the market should expect from our company in the short and medium term, with a clear guidance to help you to understand our business model. I'd like to conclude my presentation. I'd like to begin the Q&A session, and I'd like to leave an invitation. We will have an online event. You will receive the invitation during the next few weeks. And now I'd like to open for the Q&A session. Thank you. Now we would like to open the Q&A session. If you have a question, please dial asterisk 1. If at any time your question is answered, you may leave the queue dialing the pound key. We will answer the questions as we receive them. When you ask your questions, please remove the handset to have a better quality of sound. Please wait until we gather the questions. Our first question comes from Lucas Barbosa, Santander. Lucas, you have the floor. Good afternoon, Bruno, Fabio, Kubota. Congratulations for the result and thank you for taking my question. In the North 2021, what is the percentage of grains you expect to transport and the yield? And in the case of smaller contracts for corn in the second semester, is there competition from the railway? Hello, Lucas. Thank you for your participation and your question. I'd like to begin answering, and Kubota can supplement. We began 2021. You know, the company has a portfolio of clients that is differentiated. Most of our services have already been contracted. As you know, our main clients, COFCO, is the largest. What I can tell you, we're focused now on selling the rest of the volume for Q4. So we were able to make progress in selling the first. We're finishing the second and third two, and now we're focusing on selling the volumes for Q4. So a very promising year, and we are selling more in advance than in the past. Yes, we have been able to capture part of the gains that the chain generated with BR-163 road, reducing freight prices on BR-163-136 road, which was paved and in good conditions. So we have been able to really capture these gains, and some of them we pass on to our clients. The third point that you asked, we haven't seen any structural change for corn. The efforts now are being focused on selling our services in the Q4, where we have lower seasonality, because Q1, 2, and 3 are defined in the company. So it's a strong, robust combination in 2021. We're very advanced in the sale of the volumes. Even the short-term contracts, we don't work with spot. When we close, we sell a minimum of one ship, and that's take or pay. If the volume doesn't reach it, we are paid for this. So 2021 is very promising, good, consistent, good yields, good volumes that we see now in Q1. Thank you. Very clear. My second question is about Ferrogrão Railway. We saw addition. We saw the linked accounts. And could you talk about the competition from the railway? Okay, Lucas, beginning from the end, Ferrogrão Railway is a structuring project and very feasible project. It is born not with a contracted demand, but with a good demand. When it's operational, it will be very good. All the cargo that is on the highway will go to the railway, from the road to the railway. We have interacted a lot with the government, with the infrastructure ministry, They are interested in making feasible this project. Formalities are in progress. We had good conversations about the compensations. As we know, they have three pillars. One is known in relation to environmental and social issues, risks to the project. The second is the risk of a bad harvest. And the third, I don't have the details, but we know the concept. They're working on a way to compensate when the north stretch, if the north stretch becomes ready before the schedule. So, reminding you that Bruno said, in our vision, our business model is always based on growth of in the middle and north of the state of Mato Grosso. I know that Ferrogrão Railway is an upside. Our market is from the middle of Mato Grosso and upwards, where we have 70% of the growth being planned. So our vision is that Ferrogrão Railway is not only feasible, but will be very strong, and the authorities want not only Ferrogrão, but also BR-163, which has the auction for concession now. And this, so it makes sense. The government will have a 10-year concession. This project was done jointly. Ferrogrão Railway is the end of the concession of BR-163. That's why it's short. And after the concession, we will have good maintenance and signage. So we're very active. And the answer the government has given us is that this is a priority investment and will help the North Arch. It will become more competitive. These compensations, the way they were mentioned in an open way, made us very happy. And soon we will be able to continue our projects. Thank you. Very clear. Thank you, Lucas. Our next question comes from André Hachin from Itaú Bank. I have two questions. The first is related to the short term, the activities during 2021, with a better color. We are seeing an expansion in the road systems. The next question has to do with BR-136 road. What is your vision about the concession? Morning, Hachin. Thank you for the question. I will answer first. Concerning cost exposure, yes, the road transportation costs are higher, but they are a little higher. They are more relevant in the North Corridor. Now, according to our thesis, we want to have a more competitive transportation system. Waterways have the lowest consumption of fuel, both road and rail. Reminding you that our tariff is that of an integrated system that includes the two terminals, transshipment and so also elevation. So in our integrated tariff, a smaller part is navigation, and this has an exposure to fuel. The way we see it, the exposure that is higher in road is more than compensated when we use waterways. When we talk about soybean, it's correct. Most of the grains go to China. Not all. Some grains go to other locations that are closer to our terminal. And corn, a small part of corn goes to China. When we look at the volume as a whole, including soybean and corn, we cannot consider that everything is going to China. The Northern Arch also has a competitive edge depending on the destination. I will allow Fabio to talk about BR, about the road. Okay, BR-163 road. So the most important for us is that this road have good maintenance. We don't want to have the situation in 2000 like we had in 2016, 17, 18. Today it's paved, traffic conditions are good, and we want it to be transferred to the private sector, which can give it good maintenance in better operating conditions than we have seen as historically. So we understand first it will be auctioned. Hidrovias was the company that donated in a partnership with the federal government the feasibility study. We know this, all the stretches, the physical conditions, the traffic conditions, and we know that it's a good concession. Concerning competitiveness, even knowing that tolls will come in a year's time, and this makes this year very competitive because there won't be tolls in the next 12 months. When we compare this with the gains that we observed on this road from 2018 onwards, the numbers are very good. So our strategy is that the road be transferred to the private sector with tolls, and these tolls, if they charge R$20 per ton, they will give a good competitiveness to the Northern Arch. So in net values, in good conditions and with tolls at these prices is favorable for us. We see concrete actions on the part of the government. The auction was announced for June 10, and we will follow. We don't participate, but we're interested in as being the leader in this region. So it's important that this road be maintained in good conditions. In terms of timing, it takes more than a year to begin toll charging toll. So if we look at other concessions and timing between the auction and when they begin to charge tolls, it may take more than a year. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Murilo Freiberg, Bank of America. Murilo, you may proceed.
Our next question comes from Regis Cardoso, Credit Suisse.
Thank you, Bruno, Fabio. Thank you for the questions. Congratulations for the results. I'd like to touch upon two points. Please, can you give us an update on the fertilizer project in the north system? What is the current situation and the implementation of the additional volumes?
Regis, Fabio, I'd like to begin answering. The fertilizer project is very good for the company. It's a return cargo. We have a project that is more structured with more long-term
long-term projects in fertilizers. This competition in retail with more flexibility to rules is a difficult area for us. So we're having better relationships with large players, with long-term products to have a more stable position as a supplier, like we have for grains. That's the main change. Good perspectives. We should be announcing some partnerships. We're negotiating still, but we will work in a more structured way, long-term contracts, and focused on large clients, and not in the small retail, so because we have less conditions to compete in retail. We want to compete with large partnerships. So we should have news with long-term contracts where we trust that the numbers are feasible. We've seen this in Q4. We will continue with this strategy in 2021. Thank you. Follow-up of the timing. When do you believe you begin to operate? 2022? And in the south, with Vale, maybe you could add capacity in the south. Maybe in an inorganic way. Do you think this way? Have you made efforts in this direction? And a third question, in line with the new projects in Barcarena in the north, in the terminal, do you have news for us in Porto Velho? Okay, Regis. Okay, timing. The fertilizer projects can be made in phases. It's a return cargo. We will have this in the routes where we are present and also in other routes. We're looking at this. We have been saying this in a clear way. The North Arch is not only Miritituba. There are other regions, other areas of influence, maybe Porto Velho, Humaitá, Santarém, Itacoara, other locations. We know that Hidrovias does not work in a single route. So this project for fertilizer begins gradually now, and in 2022 we should be able to increase our scale. So gradually right now, and increasing the capacity as of next year. Concerning Vale, iron ore company, Vale do Rio Doce, Vale used all our fleet, and the EBITDA that was generated by Vale Mining Company and other cargoes now are concentrated all on Vale. So all the EBITDA is concentrated on Vale because they have the full fleet operating for them. Now, your point, we see opportunities, yes, to bring new assets, to avoid losing the clients that we developed while Vale operated with lower volumes. There are two ways to do this. You can bring assets or inorganic growth. I don't have news for you, but yes, we are looking at this alternative that you mentioned because it's an upside. So if we are able to bring more assets to the south, we continue working for Vale, we continue working for grain clients, those that are not with long-term contracts, but we have twice the volume of COFCO with small clients. So it's an opportunity. And we're looking at this
these alternatives. One of them is inorganic. Yes, we have discussed. We don't have conclusions, but we've made progress. It's a strategy that we are considering, yes. Finally, LNG. The discussion of LNG for the port of Barcarena goes beyond what we did last year. So once again, it was an opportunity. We did not continue, but there are other conversations that are very mature to have an LNG hub with large players there with solid governance. So we have a discussion. We're discussing to distribute gas and create opportunities for industries. Alunorte is one of them. We know that Alunorte wants to change its matrix, fuel matrix, from diesel to a cleaner one, and natural gas is one of them. Yes, we're making progress. We're developing new businesses. We're very active in LNG. And this goes beyond the thermoelectric plant contract we had last year. We use less than half. We use less than half the licensed area we have in Barcarena. We have 50 hectares. We're using less than 25. Therefore, we have space for more projects. As Bruno said, the company continues with its DNA to be a company that develops customized projects with long-term relationships. We've been able to deliver new projects every 18 to 24 months. The last one was Santos and the SALT project, and there are many others in the pipeline. So the GN at this project of natural gas continues. Thank you. Our next question comes from Fernanda Recchia, BTG Pactual Bank. Hi, Bruno, Fabio, André. Thank you for taking the question. Congratulations for the results. Could you explain the hydrological risk in the south? As you mentioned in the introduction, we were seeing an improvement in water levels in the riverways. Is there a deadline to normalize things? And the second question, a follow-up concerning inorganic growth. What are you thinking of in terms of capital structure to finance the M&As? In this quarter, you reported a net debt that is lower, but it's still above the covenant. So, what are your thoughts about the capital structure? Okay, let me answer the first, and Kubota will clarify the second on capital structure. I would like to be objective concerning the water levels in the rivers. We know what is happening. Last year, we had an atypical situation. This year, it is more normal. We continue with restrictions or limitations in waterways in January. Things improved gradually in February, and in March, we're within historical levels. In March, we have all of the Vale's convoys operating. We have a normalization in the river's curve, and this allows us to work with the whole fleet. We were not able to do this in the last year, and not even in January, and not even in the first 15 days of February. Now, it is more normal. So, we are within historical levels. Once again, we never expected the situation we had last year. We didn't hope it would happen. We didn't expect it to happen again. So it's raining. It's raining a lot. We know that it's important to have rainfall in the Pantanal area in Mato Grosso. And the excess rainfall is hurting the harvest. So we're well. we're better than we were last year. And as of March, we are back to normal with historical levels. So tell me if I answered your question, or I can ask Kubota to give you more details about the capital structure. Okay. In capital structure, you noticed we made an operation in January. It's an event after the closing of last year. So we lengthened the duration of the debt. It matured in 2025. Now it will mature in 2031. We have a small amount in 2025, a residue in 2025. But most of our debt is for 2031, at a lower cost. So a very long capital structure, very competitive in terms of cost, and a capital structure that is well balanced during these growth times. In terms of acquisitions or other projects, we're very careful with capital structure. The acquisitions we have, the most active ones in the short term, are operations that fit in our year-end report. So what we have in the pipeline is totally, it fits inside our long-term, our year-end report. Other things in the long term we will do with our cash generation and with additional resources.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Murilo Freiberg, Bank of America.
Thank you. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Well, on our side, most of the questions were covered. I'd like to hear from you. We heard some rumors concerning bottlenecks in terms of capacity. So the first question, when we look at the North Arch, it's growing strongly. As you were telling us since the IPO, we know it's positive. Do you see bottlenecks in the river, in the roads, that could hurt your performance in the north in the next few years? Do you see bottlenecks? 2021, there's an expansion. And the second question, what can we expect in terms of CapEx this year, next year? With the strong growth you had in the north, 6 million tons, and since Vale is using the total capacity, are you thinking of investments to increase capacity in the two corridors? Okay, Murilo, let me begin with the first. I will introduce the second, and Kubota will supplement with numbers.
Concerning bottlenecks, let's divide road and waterways. We had bottlenecks when BR-163 was not paved. The road was not paved. That's why I said that the paving and the privatization is very good for Hidrovias. What we cannot allow is for the road to go back to previous conditions, the bad conditions in the past. We donated the feasibility study for the road, and the way it is today, it can transport more than 30 million tons without any investment. So there is no bottleneck after the road was paved. Improvements are important. We're always looking at this.
the concession of Road 163 includes this. There are some small bottlenecks, very easy to solve. If it was in the hands of the operators, it would have been done. But in Brazil, you cannot solve a problem that is not yours. So no restrictions, no concerns concerning road bottlenecks. And this is even more evident in rivers. I'll give you numbers. When we began looking at waterways, we were talking about 4 to 5 million. We looked at the Mississippi. It can handle more than 700 million tons. And it's the Mississippi, it's not the Amazon River. So there is no bottleneck, neither in waterways nor in roads, in terms of the river's capacity to receive more cargo. And this goes beyond the capacity of the road. Brazil, we have waterways, and we have waterways where you don't see the other side of the margins. So these bottlenecks don't exist in waterways, especially in the two main basins, the Amazon Basin and Paraguay-Paraná Basin. So, no bottlenecks. The bottlenecks that represented risks are behind us. They were eliminated when the road was paved. And now, with privatization, we expect to have good maintenance for this road, and we won't have bottlenecks for a long time. Now, concerning CapEx, what you said is correct. Since we have a curve of where we have been accelerating more than what we expected, we may anticipate some investments to capture opportunities in advance. Yes, the North Arch, the capacity, we will be working at full capacity this year. Our expectation was that this would happen at the end of 2023. But the company is fully funded. We have a cash position more than 1 billion. We generate free cash flow, especially now with a lengthened debt. So the company is very well positioned to continue capturing investments. So my answer is yes. We evaluate accelerating some projects that we hoped to carry out in the future. Why? We have seen growth above our expectations. Kubota can also supplement. Thank you, Fabio. Thank you, Murilo. In terms of numbers, we will talk about this in our event, Hidrovias Day. What I can mention, which is more relevant, we have now a very clear gain in scale when we double our systems. So all the infrastructure is ready. We have a gain in scale that is brutal, in the terminal especially, and in assets less, the CapEx is more linear. We have more in terminals, since our terminals were already designed from the beginning to facilitate expansion. So it's a CapEx that we're analyzing. But in any way, it's a CapEx in terminals that it should be half of what we spent initially because of the gains in scale. As Fabio mentioned, due to this anticipating projects would be good news. And we have been very effective in gains in operations. So the market asks us to anticipate new projects, but we have been able to gain operational efficiency. We have been able to increase capacity without additional CapEx. So at the end of the day, we have this balance. But once again, to be more specific, we will give you the numbers during our Hidrovias Day event. Thank you.
Our next question is in English.
Jamie Nixo
from Credit Suisse. Sir, you have the floor.
Hi, thank you very much for the call. My question relates to your leverage ratio. In previous press releases, you also showed the ratio according to the bonds debt incurrence covenant, and this press release you didn't provide that. Do you have that figure, what your net leverage is according to the coverage ratio that's in your debt covenant? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I will answer in Portuguese. We have simultaneous translation in progress. Please tell me if you have more questions, if there's any problem. Concerning our leverage, as you saw in 4.3, our old bond, in the operation we carried out, there was a consent solicitation for a new package of covenants as of the new issuance in January. In this new package, what we have in terms of leverage, 4.5, it's a leverage that doesn't create any event in terms of anticipation. It restricts the company beyond the baskets and creates some restrictions, but today the new issuance has a ratio of 4.5. With the growth of the company continues deleveraging and continues very strong in cash generation, decreasing the leverage. This concludes our Q&A session. I would like to invite the company's boards for the final comments. Thank you. I'd like to reinforce the message about Ferrogrão Railway. When I was talking about this, there was a problem with the internet. I hope everyone was able to hear. So Ferrogrão Railway is very mature. It's a priority in the government. We're involved in this discussion, and we believe that it's totally feasible as a project, and we will be transformational for the North Arch. We heard some news, some good news with the compensations that will reduce the risk of the project. This is important, and also good financing for the project. So in the last month, we saw that it became a priority for the government to make this feasible, and this project has the support of Hidrovias. So just repeating what I said, since they told me that there was a problem in the internet, I'd like to thank you all, your interest in the company, and reinforce our commitment to deliver good quarters aligned with our business plan. The company's fundamentals are very solid situation, and the numbers show this. We're available for any clarifications. I'd like to make clear that the questions that we were not able to answer via webcast will be answered by the IR team, and I'd like to thank you for your presence. Thank you. This concludes the conference call of Hidrovias. Thank you very much for your participation, and we wish you a good day.